Praise the Lord. Really strange not having offertory music. Let's pray. Father, once again, come before you, Lord, and I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence in our lives and for speaking to our hearts, Lord. Right now, I yield myself to you. I say to you, Lord, order my steps in your word. Declare my thoughts, Lord. Take us where you want us to go this morning. Speak to the hearts and lives of these people, Lord. Let what they hear be an encouragement, Lord. Let it be new revelation. Let it come from you and from your heart, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that we've already declared that we're not going to be the same. Take these stammering lips, Lord, and use them effectively for you. I surrender to you completely in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question, maybe a couple of questions. How many of you here struggle with your walk with God? Struggle in your walk with God? I've got two honest people, three honest people. Okay, more people. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. When I say struggle, I'm talking about because of things that we've been taught, because of religious traditions, because of theology. We've been taught all kinds of things. And one of the worst things that come out of the church, and it's very prevalent in many, many, many churches, many denominations, is sin consciousness rather than righteousness consciousness. I mean, know what I'm talking about. And as a result, we get some weird ideas. And it's not only from the religious things we've been taught, but it's also we get the idea sometimes that, you know, we're not pleasing to people and as a result to God sometimes. And I don't know about you, but one of the things that I've struggled with my entire Christian walk, and I'm starting to come out of it. I'm not there yet, but I'm starting to come out of it, and I'm starting to see things and understand things that I've never really understood before. Things that I've struggled with. God's setting me free. Praise the Lord. And what I'm talking about is, you know, for instance, you know, little things. I mean, we've been taught so much, and the word sin has been misused so much that we think that all we got to do is sneeze wrong, and all of a sudden we're in trouble with God. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever feel that way besides me? All of a sudden, all of a sudden something blurts out of our mouth, and we think, oh no, man, I've muffed it now. I blew it. You know, and we get down in the mouth. We get concerned. We think, you know, and then all of, as a result, our self-esteem gets damaged. And we start thinking the wrong way. Start feeling like God's going to turn on us and he's just waiting for, you know. Can I tell you something? There's a song out, and I don't know if I can tell you exactly what it says word for word, but what it basically says is if he kept track of, I'm going to paraphrase it, if he kept track of all of our things that we do wrong every day, who could stand? Which one of us could stand? Is it possible? We're flesh. Our lives are just very, very short. And it takes a lifetime to even start to get it right. Did you hear what I said? It takes the entire lifetime to even start to get it right. We made some strides, but there's still areas, and I don't know about you, but I mean, the more I, every day when I wake up, I want to be closer to him. I want to do better. And it's inherent in human beings, especially from a young age, to want to please the father, please the parent or parents. You know, I think of my little granddaughter, and thank God for the teaching she's gotten, the moral input she's got in her life, a mom and dad who are training her in the way that she should go. So that when she's old, she won't depart from it. Training her in the truth. Not putting pressure on her, telling her, well, you know, why are you doing this? Or, you know, browbeating her. But teaching her the right way, and then instinctively, she does it. I remember last Christmas, I went to Spokane. Most of you know that. And there was a day when we were messing around, and she'd had a little bit of candy and stuff, and Grandpa wanted to be a little bit ornery, you know. Not ornery, but yeah, I wanted to just, you know, give her a little bit more. And she looked at me and she said, oh, no, Grandpa, Mom and Daddy said no. I've had enough. And I'm telling you, that gripped my heart. That, I mean, you know, it's instinctive in us to want to please our father, our parents. Amen? But so many times, because of some of the circumstances we've had in different ones of our lives, maybe all of us in this room have had some kind of a circumstance like this or a situation where, you know, you make one little mistake and or what, you know, what you think is just a little mistake, and all of a sudden it seems like the world just fell in. The world just fell apart. The sky is falling. And, you know, you get beat up for it. Maybe not physically, but emotionally because of the words that come at you. You with me?
Amen.
Struggle with whether you're good enough for God, whether you're good enough to make it. How God, you struggle with how God, how do you really feel about me? You hear it, you read it, but you really struggle with it. I don't think I'm the Lone Ranger here, and you all have said that's the truth. You feel maybe you've done something, you've gone too far for God to still consider you or to love you or to be able to, for you to continue on with God. I want to read some things to you. I want to start in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. You might want to take some notes. I've got several scriptures here. Not a lot, but several. And I want to talk a little bit about this. And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit, and you trust Him with me, that He's going to deposit in us this morning a different perspective about our salvation. I don't think there's a question in anybody's mind here in this house that you're saved. Amen? If you don't feel you're saved, then you need to let us know so we can pray with you at the end of the service today and get that rectified. Exodus 34, verse 6. I know I've had some discussions with Stan about this, and Stan recently, one of the times when I spent some time visiting with him, brought up some things in realizing that his attitude towards us is such that we really don't have anything to fear or worry about. And hopefully, with the help of God and the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be able to show you some things today. This is not a long lesson. This may just be the beginning. I don't know. We'll see what God has. Show you some things that are going to set your heart free, set you free, to be free in Him. Amen? Not always looking over your shoulder to wonder when the baseball bat's going to lower your ears. Anyway, Exodus 34, 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord your God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. So, one of the things we do know about God is that He's long-suffering and kind. Amen? Numbers 14, verse 18. Numbers 14, verse 18. The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But He by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. And I can already feel the gasp inside of you because there it is. There's the indictment against you right there. You've done something, and now you're going to have to live with it. Well, we all know that the wages of sin is death. But what he's talking about there, the guilty. You're not guilty anymore. I'm not guilty anymore. When we turned our lives over to him, we came under the umbrella, if you will, of salvation. We were washed in that blood that was shed. We were set free. Jesus took all the iniquity and sin on himself, and we became, like the scripture says, as it were, that we never sinned. It was erased, blotted out, taken away, removed as far as the east is from the west. Then that's the sin of ungodliness. What we've done is we've gotten because of religion and religious teaching and theology, we've gotten to the place where we think if we make one little mistake, we've sinned, and that's the end of the game. How many know what I'm talking about? I've struggled with this greatly in my Christian walk. I don't know about you, but I've struggled greatly with it. Never thinking that I was good enough because of the little mistakes that I make, you know? It seems like, Lord, I mean, you know, you just seem to get victory in one area, and then all of a sudden something else pops up. But God does not hold you accountable for those things. Now, I will tell you, and we're going to see this in a few minutes, we're going to talk about the chastening of the Lord. But the chastening of the Lord is done to a person who is a son, A father chastens his son. We're going to read that. And that's a sign of love. It didn't say he beats you up and casts you to the, you know, to the wolves, or says, you know, that's it. You made a mistake. It's over. You know, you're done. He understands who and what we are. He framed us. He created us. Framed us out of the dust. Amen? Psalm 86, verse 15. Psalm 86, verse 15. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for insight. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in mercy and truth. Turn with me to Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Sometimes it's the environment around us, and sometimes it's exuberance that we kind of get a little carried away once in a while, or maybe it's just an appetite that we've got. And while it's not sin, see, here's, let me tell you something. One of the things that's been thrown out by some churches and by religion is the fact that because God has told me that smoking is wrong for me, then it's wrong for you too. Well, everybody knows it's not healthy for you, but you understand when God takes something out of my life, He's dealing with me. And for me to repeat it or to continue in that, then it's sin and disobedience against Him. It's not for me to stand and hold a baseball bat over your head and say, you need to stop smoking. Well, common sense will tell you that, but I'm not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does things in us through the word that we receive and by the will of God that brings the things that we need to change in our lives out. The one thing that meant absolute death to us was dealt with when we surrendered, called Him Lord, and asked Him to come into our lives. We need to establish that once and for all. It's a done deal. When we read in Hebrews 5 and 6, the last part of chapter 5 and the first part of chapter 6, we leave those things behind, those elementary things that we've learned, and move on in maturity. We don't go back and deal with those things again. Amen? That's called a level of maturity, growing up. We stop just with milk and with crawling and all those kind of things. Now we begin to walk and stand on our own. We have the ability to feed ourselves, and we need to continue to do that. But our heart is after Him. Amen? Are you following me? And so when we make a mistake, that's not something that's sin. And when God tells us something is wrong after we're saved, it's for our continued health and prosperity. Are you with me? So if He says, stop eating all that candy, and you continue to do it, you're not going to have your name taken out of the book of life. He's not going to turn on you. But what will happen because of your disobedience is you're going to get a bellyache, or you're going to get sick, or you're going to cause some kind of calamity. And it's not God's will, and He'll deliver you. But your Bible says if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen? Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even so, Christ forgave you, so you also must do. 1 Timothy 1:16. 1 Timothy 1:16. Y'all still with me? I'm not losing you, am I? However, for this reason, I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Let me read that again. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. He reveals long-suffering and gives us long-suffering and treats us with long-suffering
as a pattern so that when we go out and our when people see our lives, they'll see it as a pattern, and they will begin to, as they, you know, they're being shown, so that they'll come to believe and they'll feel free. They'll understand the freedom. When you go and tell people you're a sinner, you're going to hell, duh, tell me something I don't know. And that's one of the things that used to floor me. I used to hear all this stuff, and nobody'd ever tell you what you needed to do. They'd just tell you what the problem was. That did a whole lot of good. How many know what I'm talking about? You don't have to tell people where they're wrong. They want to know how to get out of it. They already know what the problem is. How do I change it? Right? Is anybody with me on that? Now, here's a very, very powerful verse. 2 Peter 3:9. 2 Peter 3:9. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, listen carefully. Many of you probably know this. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, it didn't say salvation there. It said repentance. Repentance needs to be an ongoing thing in our lives. Amen? When he speaks to us, let's say you've had some kind of a problem for a long time, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reveals to you, well, it's because you've got too much caffeine in your life, whether it's through coffee or Coke or whatever. And I'm not down on these things. The Bible says nothing in and of itself under the sun is evil. It's when it's done to excess, or it's the heart that's behind the motivation, or the motivation behind what you're doing. Okay? Lust. I'll remind you again, it's not wrong to lust after God, but there's some things, sometimes we get appetites because we are flesh, that are not really healthy for us. And it's not that God's against them. He told Peter, when Peter had the vision of the cloth coming down out of heaven and all of the foods laid before him, and Peter saying, "Nothing unclean's ever crossed my lips." And God saying, "Don't call unclean what I have blessed." 4 times that happened to Peter. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean if you've got a conviction one way or other that you're wrong, but don't make it a law for somebody else. Amen? Let God deal with people. We're not the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to read that one more time. It said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Okay? That's obviously repentance from the old ways and becoming a new person, but it's also repentance from the things that he says, you need to change this in your life. Amen? And that's after salvation. Are you with me? Okay. The Bible says in Psalms 103, we're going to read verses 10 through 14, that the Father pities his children. Now, you may not be pleased when your child does something that you've told them not to do, or does something that's really not good for them. Okay? But you don't, I mean, you don't all of a sudden think, well, that's it, I better end this kid's life, that's it. Throw him out in the cold, not my child anymore. How foolish. And yet that's what the church in many times would have us believe today. It's because they teach sin consciousness rather than righteousness consciousness. We need to be going around saying that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Because that's what the Bible says. In me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. There's no righteousness in me. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But I've been made righteous by the one who is righteous. He's given me right standing with the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 10, starting in verse 10. Praise the Lord. "He has not dealt with us according to our sins." Oh, now wait a minute. Have you ever considered that verse before? See, it's still considered, the word is used sin, but it's not sin as unto death. It's the word disobedience. Okay? "According to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." Now, we all know that the wages of sin is death, and we know that we're punished. If we reject Christ, we're going to be punished. Now, there will be a punishment for disobedience after we know him, And by that punishment, that means all of a sudden the hand of protection or the guard that was on us to keep us healthy and whole may be removed so that we'll understand that we need to, when he spoke it, he wasn't kidding around. He sees the beginning from the end. He is the beginning and the end. He knows. He's the first and the last. He knows the things that are not good for you and that you need to cut out of your life. But it's not one of those things where if you disobey, all of a sudden, well, that's it. You lost your salvation. I mean, as Stan would say, or J.W. would say, send your saddle home, John. It's over with. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as, this is the key scripture right here in this group, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You ought to be praising God. You ought to be praising God. And when he tells us things that we're supposed to stop doing, or he tells us things that we're supposed to start doing, it's not for punishment, it's for our good. It's so that we can continue to grow and continue to be in his image and likeness. Would you agree? Praise the Lord. As the Father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. Where do you think you got that compassion? Well, I was just lucky. When I was born, I got it all. No, you got it from God, because that's part of his character. And when you get born again, that character is personified. It's magnified. Amen? For he knows our frame and remembers that we are dust. If we were going to do everything perfect, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus, would we? If we didn't have a potential to mess up, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus. And we wouldn't have need to be told in the Bible so many times to repent. David messed up quite often. He did some what some people would gasp at and say horrendous things. Well, I've never done that. Well, to that I would tell you that your Bible says that if you're guilty in one area, you're guilty of all. Right? Praise the Lord. The difference is, when we're born again, when we're saved, we now have an advocate or an intercessor, a high priest that makes intercession for us all the time. He's intervening in our behalf. And I'll remind you that not only did he remove our transgressions and our iniquity as far as the east is from the west, but he put it in the deepest sea and has no record of it any longer. And yet if you work and operate in this world, especially in the field of law enforcement, all you see is the book says this, you did this, you're done. Now you suffer the consequences. Now, and with God, there are certain things that are laws that you don't violate those laws or you will pay the price. That doesn't mean you've fallen from his graces. Are you with me? That doesn't mean you've lost your forgiveness. But when he tells you, don't do this, there's a reason. When he tells you, do this, there's a reason. It's for your good. Not just for your good, but if we really believe that we're not here for us, we're here for the others and for the kingdom and for God, then it behooves us to obey when he tells us. I'm reminded of the old Missouri mule. I've been told, I've never experienced this, but I've been told there are some times when you got to get his attention, and the way you do that, you take a two-by-four and crack him right between the eyes. And all of a sudden, you've got his attention again. His will has kind of been put by the wayside, and now he's, because we don't want to repeat this, we're going to do what the owner or the master says. Well, God's not like that. He'll gently lead us and guide us, or he'll back off and let us suffer through whether it's a bellyache or a headache or whatever because we didn't do what he said. And this is one of the areas where the beginning of, well, I have my rights. I'm going to do it my way. Well, you just go on ahead and do it. But don't come crying to God when you find out that I messed up and saying, you know, what happened? You come crying to him and saying, Father, I disobeyed. I'm sorry. I now understand why you didn't want me to do this. It was for my good. I'm sorry. That's what made David a man after God's heart. Wasn't that he didn't make mistakes. It was that he quickly repented. When God the Father corrects us, it's not with malice or anger. Remember what Jeremiah 29:11 says? I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. thoughts for good and not for evil, thoughts to prosper and not to harm you, and to give you a hope and a future. Now, there's nothing wrong with being down on yourself. Man, why did I do that? That was just dumb. Well, just don't repeat it. And God will help you do that. When you make the decision, Lord, I don't want to do that again. I'm not going to do that again. Watch Him step on the scene and help you out. We talked a little bit about that Wednesday night. When you're born again, iniquity and transgression is removed as far as the east is from the west. We've talked about that. God looks at us with different eyes. You understand that humanity is the creation of God, but not all humanity are the children of God. In order to be a child in a family, you have to be born into that family. There has to be an adoption or a change. You either have to be born into it or you have to be adopted into that family. And then you become part of that family and you have rights in that family. Your Bible says that after we were born again, we were, and the more we grow, we're no longer called slaves, but we're sons, and then we transform from that to heirs. Amen? For you to have an inheritance or to be an heir, you have to be first a child or a son. Amen? Proverbs 3, verse 12. Not a long message, but I believe a very powerful one. And we need to start looking and understanding that God sees us through the eyes of love. When we're born again, He doesn't see all the old past and then all these silly little things we do. And even if He did for just a moment, because we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus, our High Priest, our King, He makes intercession for us. Proverbs 3, verse 12. My son, do not despise. I'm going to start in verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom He delights. See, when God corrects you in something or gives you a direction, it's because He loves you. And because, as we know from Jeremiah 29:11, He has good thoughts. In order to bring those thoughts into fruition, He has to speak to us, guide us, and then if we don't get it the first time, come back and kind of, almost like the rudder on a ship, steer us into the right direction so we'll finally get it and operate in it. Now, you understand I'm not talking about sinning in thought, word, and deed every day. I'm talking about little things that we do, little appetites or little things that maybe they're habits. Maybe you don't even realize you're doing it. But one day God says through a message or through the word when you hear it or through your study, cut that out. Don't do that anymore. Or, hey, you know, you're missing it. You're missing part of the whole picture here. Start going this way. It's for your good. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I hated to have my face washed. As Bill Cosby would say, I would throw a royal hissy fit. I don't want that old wet thing on my face. Oh, Ma! And I'd stomp around and have fit. Well, it was for my good. See, I was too young and immature to realize that if I had a dirty face, some might be some folks who didn't want to be around me. Not only that, I might start to stink. You know what I'm talking about? So while it wasn't pleasant, it was for my good. And I learned that. Are you with me? My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father, the son in whom He delights. When your children, those of you who have children, did something that wasn't pleasing to you, or did something you told them not to, yes, you were displeased, but you didn't disown them, did you? Okay. But you tried to guide them and remind them and let them know why. Harry, I didn't say you thought about it a couple times. I heard this one time. I think this is kind of cute. You know what grandchildren are? They're God's reward to you for not killing your kids. Anyway, moving right along. He must really like me. Anyway, John 17, verse 24. Book of John, chapter 17, verse 4. And we are right on the verge of closing with this. Verse 24. John 17, 24. Did I say that? I thought that's what I did, as I said before, but it's verse 24. Now listen to Jesus cry here. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. Did you get that first part? It says, Father, I desire that they also, that's you and me, where are they, may be with me where I am, that they might behold or see the glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. And doesn't the scripture say the same about us? He also says he loved us with an everlasting love. So you tell me how one little mistake or one little antic that's maybe not pleasing to God, that he's going to write you off. Now, like I said, maybe some of you haven't struggled with this like I have, but I have struggled with it. I don't like me sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I get disgusted with me. So if I get that disgusted, I can imagine what God thinks. And yet if I go back and remember what the Word says and listen to that still small voice, it's not that he's disgusted with me. He's disgusted with the things that cause me harm because I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. He lives and abides and dwells and resides within me. Amen? I like this. This is good stuff. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. See, this is that. If you want a good reason why you're not to judge other people, it's because you're not qualified. God looks at the heart of man. He doesn't look at the outward appearance or the things that go on. So when you make a mistake or you do something even that maybe is not good for you, God doesn't judge you by that. He judges you by the heart that's within you. The heart that says, I want to serve God. I love you, Lord. Your faithfulness is a commitment to that. Now, why would he turn on somebody like that? Would you as a parent do that? Of course not. Good stuff. Father looks at the heart, and he judges things by the heart. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Colossians chapter 2, final when we're closing. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Patrick, if you get ready to play something there, or even start now, just real low, something appropriate. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all trespasses. Did you hear me? See, the one thing that would have taken you to destruction in your life, meaning you'd have no hope after this life, you dealt with the day that you surrendered your life to him. Once and for all. It's a done deal. Your Bible says don't go back to the former things. Don't look back. He who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Amen? Verse 14. Having wiped out. Do you understand? Wiped out. There's no record anymore. The handwriting of requirements. The regular King James says ordinances. The handwriting of ordinances. The laws that were broken by the sin of Adam and Eve and that you were born into are gone. Because now, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What does that mean? That means that you are a new species or new being that never before existed. The old man that was in sin is now dead and gone. You've changed residences. You've now become a child, a blood-bought child of God. And what was set for you that you deserved is no longer there. It's done away with. Jesus took it all for eternity off of everyone who would give their life to him. And he says it's for everyone, but some people choose to stay and live for the moment rather than surrender for the hope that's in front of them. What's that scripture, Richard, out of Romans 8:18? Is that what it is? Quote that for us, will you please?
For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the exceeding great and precious promises. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way. Did you catch that part? He has taken it out of the way. And then the last of it that seals it, having nailed it to the cross. Praise the Lord. That's why you can't go around saying, oh, I'm just an old wretched sinner saved by grace. No, honey, you were a wretched sinner. But now you've got Jesus in your life. You're part of the royal family. You're part of the royal priesthood. You're a son and an heir with God. A joint heir with Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. So don't get focused on the little hiccups in the road or the little things that you do that all of a sudden, oops, and that's God talking to you. Oops, I probably shouldn't have done that. Or, you know, God told me I needed to do that and I didn't do it. So do it. And I'll remind you once again, in most cases, when God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you won't hear from him again until you fulfill what he's told you to do. Amen? Are you with me? Hallelujah. See, I needed this today because I've struggled with this for so long, you know, about 50 times a day, as a matter of fact. That may be a conservative estimate. Anyway, bless the Lord. God's good. He's told us doesn't want any of us to perish. He's not willing that any should perish, what the King James says. And if that's the case, and like the song says, if he was to record or hold our transgressions, which of us would stand? Jesus would have died in vain. There'd be no hope for us. But it's not possible for us without him in our lives, causing us to grow day by day, moment by moment, line upon line, precept upon precept, as the word grows in us and as a relationship grows, until he brings us to that place. And can I tell you something? You're never going to draw that last breath that says, I've now arrived. Until you take your last breath and meet him. Are you with me? It's an ongoing process. If you lived as long as Abraham lived, 900 plus years, you would still be learning and growing. You'll never reach that goal. But you keep striving towards the mark of the prize. Amen? Praise the Lord. Trying to please him. And if you have a hiccup in the road, or you get a hiccup in your life, run to him. Run to the rock that's higher than you. The name of the Lord's a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Part of righteousness is being able to say, Lord, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I realize now that when you told me about this, that to stop doing this or to do this, it was for my good and there was a benefit there, whether I saw it or not. And now I understand why, because I got this or that going on in my life, or I'm missing this in my life. Amen? And as a direct result of either disobedience or obedience to the wrong thing. Amen? Or on the positive side, obedience. Disobedience to the desire, or obedience to what God tells you, or obedience to God's plan rather than your desire. Is that said enough ways? Our salvation is secure. Did you hear me? Our salvation is secure. You'd have to lose your mind and totally become hard-hearted to ever give back the gift that God's given. And that's the only way you can ever lose it. Because he tells you in Romans 11:29, his gifts and calling are without repentance. They're irrevocable. He never changes his mind. So that means you're the only one who has the ability. He tells you nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. Nothing will be able to pull you out of his hand except you. So we ought to be excited today. Our salvation is sure. And we're all sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's don't struggle with those things anymore. Now, when I say struggle, I mean start thinking, oh, well, man, I've done this before, and God's got to be getting upset with me. No. He may not be pleased, but he's not going to turn on you. Amen? Praise the Lord. When he tells us something, like, for instance, give this up, that's not because he wants to deprive you, but he sees
because he knows the beginning from the end, the outcome of that continued, whatever it is, thing in your life. Or he sees the calamity ahead for what he may be leading you to do, and you're not being obedient. It's not that he's going to turn on you, but he wants to get your attention, so he's going to chasten you. And if that means just backing off, or if it means getting a little hard on you, by the hard I don't mean, again, beating you up or getting angry with you, just, hey, you know what? Obedience is better than sacrifice. We all know, man, every one of us can quote Joshua 1:8. The key to that is observing to do all that's written therein in Joshua 1:8. And then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. But the main thing is, let's move on from ever feeling like our salvation is not sure. I'm not saying you didn't have the know-how, know that you were saved, but that feeling maybe that the enemy kind of puts there, kind of brings that little doubt because of some little thing in your life. Okay? Now, you know, we laugh at some of the cliches and things that people come up with, like, you know, well, smoking won't send you to hell, but it'll make you smell like you've been there. I'm just picking on things that we talk about all the time. Dancing. Dear Lord, whoever came up with dancing as a sin? Only some religious fool would say something, or fanatic, if you want to put it that way, would say something like that. Music. Dancing. Those kind of things are given by God. They came from Him originally. Hello? So they're not wrong. It depends on where you're doing them and what the motive of the heart is. Now, y'all may be shocked, but if you go out dancing with your wife, you're not going to hell. That may be a newsflash to some of you, but it's the truth. In fact, I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather enjoy dancing with... When my daughter got married, I enjoyed dancing with her. Celebration. Celebration. Enjoying the gift that God's given you in each other. Now, if you're going out to some bar and you're getting tanked at the same time, well, you know, again, it's not healthy for you. Can I tell you something? Let me just tell you the way my brain works. I don't know if I'm wired backwards or wired right and everybody else is wrong or what. You be the judge. But one of the things that I have detested my entire career in public safety and law enforcement is drunks. And any police officer will tell you the same thing. People talk, it's like smoking. When I was a kid, they always used to talk, oh, smoking, you know, all that flavor and stuff. Well, I, you know, hot air, that's not flavor. It's like Stan talking about eating really hot foods. Hot is not a flavor. So why do you do it? Drinking. You go out and, oh, this is fun, let's go party and have a good time. And you go home so drunk that you're puking your guts out. You got a headache that won't quit. You feel like somebody's just hit you with a baseball bat, or you've been run over by a Mack truck. Then the Mack truck backed up over you again to see what he ran over. This is fun? No, honey. This is sadomasochism. This is self-abuse. I'm telling you. Like I say, maybe I'm wired wrong, but that's the way I feel about it. You understand what I'm saying? There's a reason why we don't do these things. God didn't tell us that you know, a little wine was wrong. He said it's probably good for you. But in anything in excess, or anything without restraint, or where you put that ahead of what God's telling you, that's where it becomes wrong. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, do you have maybe just a little different perspective than what you had? Or maybe y'all are so smart you were far ahead of me and I just needed to hear this for me. What do you think, Bill? Did this help you today? I know you and I have had conversations. We think a lot alike in a lot of ways. And I know we sit there and think, man, I don't know, Lord. And you kind of sit back and you think, God, how can you put up with me? And all I can tell you is God just sits in the heavens and laughs. Did you see what he did? Did you see what she did? He's not mad at you. He's just disgusted when anything happens to you that's harmful to you. Because you didn't do what he asked you to do, or you did what he told you not to do. Amen? He's not going to turn on you. You can't change bloodline. Honey, the blood that courses through your veins is the blood of God. The second Adam, the final blood of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Enough said. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. That's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. The executive office. That's right. Talk to my dad.
Amen. Talk to my dad. Some of us maybe need to do that a little more than we do too, huh? No condemnation. We're learning and growing, and that's the key. Amen. Not being stagnant. Going on. Keep on keeping on, as they say. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about this message. I'm sorry some people weren't here to hear this, because I know there's others here who struggle with this greatly. And so, you see, if you know somebody that's not here, tell them they need to get the tape. Or maybe you ought to just go and get the CD for them and give it to them. Let them listen to it. Whatever God leads you to do. Amen. We need to get free of this crud, folks, because this kind of stuff will hold you back. It'll make you always feel like you're never good enough, or like you're inferior, and like you're never going to get to where God wants you to be. And that makes you feel like you can't excel or do things in the kingdom of God. Hey, I know. I've been there. I've walked in that. I've lived in that. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to live up to and know the full potential that I have, and that God sees the potential in me. I wasn't born to be a castaway or a throwaway, and neither were you. God doesn't make junk. You hear me? God doesn't make junk. He tells you, I've begun a good work in you, and I'll complete that work. You just got to keep listening and obeying. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anything we need to pray about? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about the earthly doctor, but I can tell you the great physician's not concerned at all. He's got it under control. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anything else? Praise the Lord. Well, Father, right now we thank you for this day. We thank you for allowing us and giving us the opportunity to come into your presence, to most importantly fellowship with you, but also to fellowship with one another. Now, Lord, we raise up this lady that was mentioned by Marie. Lord, you see her, you know her, you see what the problem is, Lord, so we just send your word now. We send the word Jesus to her and say, be whole in the name of the Lord. And in so doing, Lord, whatever needs to be healed, more importantly than physically, Lord, heal that, her relationship with you, salvation, whatever it is that she needs, Lord, you know. So we just send your word, send Jesus, and we thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. And for Deborah's mom, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are the great physician, and you're not concerned a bit. You see, you know, you've got it under control. Once again, we've heard this morning that you only have good thoughts for your kids, and we only have good things planned for us, and it's not your will for us to perish. But, Lord, we also know that sometimes we don't see what we need to see, and it's your will to give the ultimate healing. In either case, we're healed, and we thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, to raise these people up however you see fit, and we thank you for it. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. We don't limit you to our finite thinking or our finite desires, but we just say, Lord, your will, whatever that is, ultimate healing or physical healing to bring glory and honor to you in this world, we thank you for it in Jesus' name, but we know it's done. We thank you. Lord, now bless the fellowship. Once again, Father, I ask you, I say, Lord, look, I desire that your face shine upon your people, Lord, that they understand and see your grace and mercy, and that they walk in that, Lord. That they understand that you're for them and not against them, Lord. Cause sweet peace to fall on them. Bless their going and their coming according to your word. For this we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen.